remember, do I do the library stuff as well?
I think you usually audibly just say who else is, okay. Yeah, for the record.
Michael Sowers.
Here.
Jessica Anderson.
Yep.
And Jamie Blair, I'm here. Of course. And Melissa.
Dally.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to butcher
okay.
that.
I am here.
Okay. We also have our city attorneys here as well. Thank you. Did everyone get a copy of the minutes from January?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Were there any changes?
Joseph submitted a few edits to me earlier today. Not had a chance to show them out.
They did get edited to his suggestions.
Okay.
So.
I noticed my name was spelled incorrectly at the top. Maybe that. The rest of it was fine. So. And do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move.
And a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Next, we will open it up to the public. We do have a few members of the public here. We'll go ahead and let you speak. We do limit you to 3 minutes or less. Jaylene, do you mind timing?
Yes.
Go ahead. How would you like to go? If you mind stating your name for us.
Aaron Ritchie. I'm here to express some displeasure. And from some of the community, which other people want to be here, but your days have been off because of the holidays and things like that. So a lot of people really wanted to come here earlier, but it was a little bit confusing. But the point being, it's the transgender book club. So to list a transgender book club for children between the ages of 14 and 18 on the library website is by definition promoting the transgenderism. To promote transgenderism in our children is disturbing, and I believe outside the purview of the public library. While the attacks on our children, telling them to disregard their parents, the world is ending in 12 years because of global warming, you're an oppressor or oppressed, law enforcement is evil, and now you can be whatever sex you want. Look at the transgender mass shootings, lawsuits, and other things coming out and exposing how they were manipulated as children. What is next? Books on bestiality? Pedophilia? Remember, it's all about how we feel. The mental health issues aren't necessarily with the children. It is with those that promote this. Virtual signaling is killing our children. I speak as a parent, a grandparent, a youth sports coach for many years, and a past school board director. Please, just leave our kids alone.
Thank you, Aaron.
Other members of public
that
like to speak?
Sure. I'm Linda Johnson, and I appreciate all of the opportunities there are at the library, including ones that are billed for anybody who wants a safe place to come, which that was how I had seen that club, is that it's meant to be a safe place for people to come and talk about things, not something that necessarily promotes it. But I can, you know, understand different points of view. However, I like that the library is a safe place where people can come even if they don't have a home, because I've noticed that the library does really make an effort to provide opportunities that people don't have places, other places where they can go for either things like making onigiri, which I think is great, or the maker space and all of the opportunities provided there, as well as a great place to get books, whether physical or virtual. So I do like that the library has all those things. I would like to see, I'm not sure that I've seen this, I haven't taken my kids to story time since they're getting a little bit older, but I know a lot of libraries have like movement exercises and activities, and I'm not sure that I've seen any sort of like yoga or other things, and that might be something fun to include, as I know those who've gone to the city council meeting have seen that, like with the rec center limited. I'd just love to see some, I don't know, places where people can go for movement and other types of activities. And I think we could tie that into reading somehow, or music, culture, things like that, as well as one thing North Logan Library does that I really like doing with my kids is a culture club, and where every month they make a food from that culture and they show different videos and talk about things like that and do a craft activity with kids. So I love all of the things that you guys are doing and the direction that you're going in. Just want to continue to share opportunities. And I won't be able to stay very long because my kids are here right now. I don't want to leave them unattended for very long, even though they're not super little.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you for your comment. Do we have any other members of the public that would like to speak?
Sure. I'll just really quickly. I just was wondering if you could address the issues of the minors in your new club that you're starting. And maybe you already did, I don't know. So, with the LGBT, I just want to know about minors. Because something I got said 14 to 18 and another one said 18. So I just wanted to know about how you're dealing with it. So, do I ask that now or what?
As far as what age is it?
Is it open to 14 to 18 year olds?
Yeah. There's two groups, one for teens, one for adults.
Okay. So I have issues with that because they're minors. And are you going to ask for parental permission to go into that space? Are parents allowed in that space? I just don't know.
Address these now, or would you rather do it?
I can send you an email if you have left your information on the sign-in sheet.
Okay,
I can follow up with that. This isn't technically a Q&A of the meeting. So
sorry, I have never been.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Understandable. I can send you a follow-up email.
Okay, thank you, sir. Did you have that phone number now?
Okay. Are there any other members of the public? Okay. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for your comments. We do appreciate the engagement with the public. We'll bring it back to council now. And just a reminder, even though this kind of feels like an informal format, we'll keep just discussion to council from this point forward. The board from this point forward.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you're welcome to stay for the remainder of the meeting. You're welcome to flip out if you need as well. The next item on our agenda will be our Open Meeting Act training by the City Attorney.
Thank you.
I'll turn the time over to you.
Yay!
That's all. Right. Yeah. Notice I'm not plugged in there.
Okay, so this training is on the Open and Public Meetings Act. Okay, so the intent of the Open and Public Meetings Act per Utah Code Section 524102 is to, public bodies are to assist and aid in the conduct of people's business. So they take actions openly and conduct their deliberations openly. Who's subject to the act? This body here is. Any administrative advisory or legislative body which was created by the Constitution, statute, rule, ordinance, or resolution needs to consist of two more persons, spends, distributes, or is supported by tax dollars, has authority to make decisions or recommendations about the public's business. All right, so what is a meeting? Per Utah Code, a meeting is the convening of a public body with a quorum present, whether by person or by electronic means, for the purpose of discussing, receiving comments from the public about or acting upon a matter over which the public body has jurisdiction or advisory power. So what isn't a meeting? Not a chance meeting. It's not a social gathering. Don't use a social gathering or chance meeting to conduct public business. Remember, going back to the intent of the act we discussed at the beginning. Okay, so what is a quorum? It's a simple majority of the membership of a public body, unless it's otherwise defined by the law. Okay, this is one of the more important aspects, public notice. We discussed that a little bit earlier. But you do need at least 24 hours notice of the meeting, including the agenda, date, time, and location of the meeting. Notice must be posted at the principal office of the public body and on the Utah Public Notice website. The schedule of the regularly scheduled meetings must also be noticed once a year. And then with emergency meetings, once approved by the majority of the public body, it requires the best notice practice. Okay, meeting agenda. Agenda items should have reasonable specificity to notify the public. Items that are raised by the public that are not on the agenda can be discussed, but action cannot be taken.
Kind of like what we started.
Yeah.
Yep. For example.
Yeah. Okay, minutes. What is included? So minutes of an open meeting include the date, time, and place of the meeting, names of the members present and absent, the substance of the matters discussed, a record of each vote taken, summary of any public comments, and a recording of an open meeting shall be a complete and unedited recording of the meeting.
So closed meetings, along with noticing, this is what gets most people into trouble. So when can a public body hold a closed meeting? Quorum must be present, the meeting begins as an open meeting, and then the public body votes to close that meeting. It must have two-thirds approval. The reasons for closing the meeting must be given on the public record. A recording of the closed meeting is kept, except if it's discussing personnel issues or security issues. Reasons that the public meeting can be closed are stated in 204, 205, and 206. You can discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of a person, pending or reasonably imminent litigation, or real estate transaction. What is forbidden during a closed meeting? You can't approve an ordinance, a resolution, a rule, a regulation, a contract, or make an appointment. You can't interview anybody, and can't take a final action except in a judicial or quasi-judicial decision. Then the final votes must be made public. Electronic meetings are allowed if done pursuant to an adopted resolution, a rule, or an ordinance. Meetings must be properly noticed. They can be done by phone, computer, or other electronic means, and the public must have a means to attend. There needs to be an anchor location. You know, you just cast the video.
They need to be able to attend physically?
Physically. We got to give them a physical location. And yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes you can also give them a link so they can just watch from home. Disruption of meetings. Can you remove a person from meeting if they're being disruptive? Yes. Individuals may be removed if they willfully disrupt a meeting to the extent that the orderly conduct of the meeting is seriously compromised. Enforcement of the Act. The Attorney General and the County Attorney have the authority to enforce it. There are criminal penalties involved with intentionally violating the Act. The common violations, like I said earlier, are closing a meeting without members voting in the open meeting, conducting a closed meeting for reasons other than the enumerated reasons, taking final action in the closed meeting, or failing to provide proper notice. And I think that's it.
That's
it. Yeah. So we are required to give you guys this training every year. We'll see you guys in a year. Any other questions?
Yeah.
You have any questions about this?
Nope.
I
don't
think so.
No.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah,
you'll
get it again.
You'll be a pro.
Thank you, Alice. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that, we will move forward with the director's report.
Woo! All right, statistical report. So the stats report was in your packet, at least I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, good. and so in the... Oh, yeah,
wow.
Actually, doesn't matter. But,
it doesn't matter, it's just going, you know.
Thank you. I'm used to doing that. I updated it, so 2024 is now green, 2025 is blue, and the current year, 2026, is red. It's going to be a really short line on the 2026 for that, and so those numbers are there. Nothing too outrageous.
only good things that I wanted to point out here. I'm going to scroll down a little bit. Study room hours continue to increase. They went from 741 to 849 in January, so that was nice. Conference room hours booked went up 90 hours over December, so that's good too. The community room kind of still stabilized. It was definitely higher than December, but not an outlier above previous years. Makerspace hours down, but historically where I used to work, it was like it always peaked in November, December, and then took a nosedive in January, so I was totally not surprised by this. Also, our laser cutter is down, so and I'll talk a little bit more about that later in my report. And then just overall number of programs in the building is, you should see some kind of much higher numbers, not a lot, but definitely higher numbers. We are really working hard to get more programs happening in here. Just to get off the numbers just a little bit, we're really trying to leverage volunteers and partnerships so it's not staff running all of the programs. I don't know if you saw the news with the mayor, the America 250 this year. We're going to be doing a whole series of lectures in conjunction with the Poli Sci and the History Department up on campus. So we're the host. They come and do the work. It's great. I saw on Reddit somebody was like, I do this. I'm looking for a place to do an ASL practice group. And I was like, ooh, the library. And then I read it, and she's like, but we're having trouble because I have to book the library every 2 weeks, and I can't. So we reached out. She's now a partner, so we're going to have a regular ASL practice group in here. And pretty soon we will be starting Crisscross Applesauce Story Time. I did not come up with that name, but I like it. That will actually be story times for generally younger, kind of sitting in the lap instead of running around like our big production. And will be held actually in the children's area under the trees, and will be mostly done by volunteers, education students on campus. The mayor might do one, at least he says he's interested. So, like I said, those numbers are really up because we're really pushing and we're really trying to get more partnerships and volunteers in to be able to help us increase the programs and get more people in the building and attending. So, and then there was one leftover question from last month. There was a spike on February 2025. It was like 400 and some, and everybody's like, what was that? That was actually an outreach program at Mount Logan Middle School, and we're doing it again this week. Actually, it's escape rooms. That's been moved over to off of teen and over to the outreach stats because they weren't tracking outreach that way, so I just moved that number around. Any questions on the stats? All right. Cool.
Good.
Moving on, grants. We were awarded the CLEF grant from the state for $10,700. That will cover new drawers for our CDs instead of putting them on the shelves where they fall off very easily. The project itself will cost $15,000, but we've got money in the budget to cover that other five, so we're good there. We did apply, and then we're going to move the CDs will move to the second floor, and the magazines and newspapers will move up to the third floor, so kind of the quiet stuff on the quiet floor. That stuff, yeah. We did apply for a LSTA 2026 technology grant through the state library for $5,000 to increase the size of our library of things. We did not get that for reasons I'm digging into about how the grant was written, not the necessarily quality of what we were asking for. It should have been written in third person instead of first person was one of their complaints. And another one was the budget wasn't clear, but I filled out their form and it did what they said. And then they said I should have done it somewhere. Anyways, I'm working with them. It was $5,000. Not that big of a deal. It would have been nice, but we did not get that one. We'll do better next time. And then tomorrow, we're having a meeting with Cash Trails and the Parks and Rec Department. I guess this time a year ago, Cash Trails worked with us to try to get a grant for a story walk in one of the parks that never ended up happening, but I've since found that AARP has a community challenge grant that funds this sort of thing. It's due March 6th, So we're going to meet with Cash Trails and that. The library's portion of the work would basically be A, the grant, B, providing the stories that would go in the trail markers along the trail, and then cycling those out every month or 6 months or something like that. So, is anybody not familiar with the story walk?
I'm not
hugely familiar. Okay. Picture a trail, but there are then posts with signage, okay. But you can swap it out and you just make a story, you know, pages out of a book, uh-huh. or whatever it is. And so as you walk the trail, you get to read the story. Yeah. So,
do they have a specific place in mind?
That's the meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
Denzel Stewart Park makes a great.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Depending on the length that they're looking for. Yeah.
I found this grant, and then our programs person went, hey, we were trying something last year and it didn't have it, so it's like already written and everything. So like we're just going to be like, let's see if we can get that going.
So that would be a story wall someplace in the library?
No, some in a park.
Oh. Okay.
Somewhere in a park. So outdoor. Yeah, walking park. So, yeah. All right. Budget. Find my document here. All right. Nothing too significant to report. Any of the numbers that are kind of off, I spoke about last month. Anything that was in the negative has already been taken care of. That got moved in the last week or so since this was printed out. The big one that says it's 268% over, that's the makerspace, which had no budget. So you know, the budget was zero, so we're just kind of backfilling it as we buy things so that next year we'll have a number to work with to actually do the budget. I'm estimating about $5,000 for that. So speaking of the budget, just for the record, although I did send it on email too, I did submit our budget adjustments for fiscal year 27. And that would be setting a $5,000 budget for the makerspace, which was previously zero. Adding $780 to the cell phone reimbursement budget. They had only budgeted for my phone, but Joseph's phone gets a partial reimbursement on that too. $25,000 to cover raises that were given this year to the part-timers because of how I was learning how the budget works. An additional $6,000 in that same budget line to cover potential desk fiscal raises for next year, so about 3%, assuming all things work out with the city budget. And then adding another $5,000 to create two part-time substitute positions. So these would be part-time positions that would alternate weeks with a guaranteed 4 hours, and then people who would be able to be called in to cover a shift if somebody calls out or goes on vacation or is sick or something like that. That just adds a lot of flexibility to the schedule, so we're not, you know, people can plan their lives and we've got somebody we can call in. So that would be revenue neutral, anything over their 4 hours in a week. So just need to cover the 4 hours and then that. I did, since this was my first time doing this, I did work with Rich in City Finance. He thought this was wonderful, fine, looks good, shouldn't be an issue. Where does this money actually come from? I don't get to decide that yet until the mayor does his part of the budget and figures out if there's going to be an increase in all these other things, but we have more than enough money in how we underspend to cover these additions in the existing budget. If we then get a tax increase, we have other money, but we can easily cover this. None of this is all too radical. So. Questions there? Nope. Okay. Library building issues. I shouldn't have to run a cable over here. I should be able to plug into this. On February 17th, we called the company in again and had a meeting with them. Joseph was there. No, you were not there. Debbie was there. A representative from the city was there. Their tech, a project manager, and one of their VPs was there. And they fixed everything, and then this stopped working last week. So I've still not signed off on the project, but we're literally down to like one item. But we have started moving, instead of working with the project people, we are now reporting any issues directly to their support team, which has a better turnaround and dedicated people to maybe fix things remotely and whatnot, since it's kind of on a... this particular thing stopped working as opposed to the system is not working. I have still made it perfectly clear to them that I need 7 solid days of absolutely no issues before I will sign off on this project and we go into the warranty. And they're like, yes, please. And so they're working on it. We're getting close. Though I feel like I've been saying that for a year. So there you go. The X-Tool laser cutter in the Bakersfield has been down for a while. We've replaced pulleys and gears, and we've even replaced the motherboard to no avail. They are replacing the whole unit. How we ship back a 300-pound laser cutter, I don't know yet. but they have not said they're going to charge us for that. So we're getting a new one. I don't have an ETA, but we just signed the paperwork for that process this morning. So, and then attached to that is the ventilation issues, but we can't test the ventilation issues until we have a working laser cutter. So that's it. Staffing, Dana Keller, Paige has been with us since the new building, or a little bit more than a year.
A little over a year.
Has decided to enter her employment with us. Today was her last day. She was a page shelving, mostly kids' books, just for personal reasons. No problems that I'm aware of. The page position was posted on the 19th. It will be up until March 1st, and as of lunchtime this afternoon, we had 59 applications.
Wow.
Yeah. For those of you who weren't aware, when we hired an LCA several months ago, we had 300 and some applications in 10 days. We broke not only our own record, but the city record, and the previous city record was the library. and I have to have it up for 10 days, so legally. So well, I'll let you know how many we get. So week after next, we should probably be able to do some interviews for that position. And then the last item I have, just for the record, for those of you who were there, or for those of you who weren't there, the non-resident fee change was postponed until August at the last city council meeting. And that's what I'll say. That's my report.
We discovered a couple more.
Oh,
leaks,
yes.
But Mike from maintenance believes this one is taken care of now. Mm. I talked to him in depth about it, and he just needs to replace the tile.
Mm. Is that leak from plumbing or something?
It's a complicated roofing thing. They found some holes that they think weren't filled like they were supposed to be, and now they are filled. Mm. And so it shouldn't be an issue going forward. Once it's replaced and we know it's good, then we'll hang that piece of artwork back up too.
Oh, Mike, what's an LCA stand for?
Library Customer Assistant. Okay. So it's Paige, Library Customer Assistant, Library Technical Assistant, Associate Librarian, Assistant Director, and Director.
Thank you.
Yep.
So Paige is like an entry level.
Yeah, it's purely shelving. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Are there qualifications for that position?
You need to be 18.
That's where I started.
I will say, as a side note, we did try to lower it to 16, but the city has a bunch of reasons why I was talked out of that. So, including like it's a misdemeanor if you don't get the paperwork right. So we kind of decided to leave it.
Not have a problem getting it.
No, absolutely not. No. That basically HR said we really only go under 18 if we can't get anybody over 18 to apply. The library does not have that problem.
Okay. And then when will you be hiring your volunteer or not?
That would have to. So that would be next fiscal year.
Okay. So after the budget.
After the budget. Yes. Okay. Yep. In case we don't get a lot right now.
Okay. Sounds good. City Council report, Melissa.
Well, having this be my first meeting, I-